You're listening to the All Day Rock Off Podcast, episode number 32. Welcome to the All Day Rock Off Podcast, episode number 32. This is your host, Brian, and I wanted to thank you so much for tuning in. We truly hope you enjoy this episode, and don't forget to check out our previous episodes as well. The All Day Rock Off podcast includes interviews, answers questions, and provides updates on the rucking community. In 2018, GoRuck revamped their Constellation event by renaming Constellation to Constellation 12 and adding an additional Constellation 6 event. In addition, GoRuck changed up the majority of the modules that were taught during Constellation, making the event something entirely different this year compared to last. As soon as this happened, I reached out to GoRuck headquarters and ended up with an interview with Cadre Mickey, who was the cadre that took point on developing the new Constellation events. If you're curious about Constellation and possibly what has changed between last year and this year, then you are really going to enjoy this interview. Before we get into the interview, as always, I wanted to give some thanks to those who have left reviews on Apple Podcasts and Facebook. We've got a 5-star review from Anthony, who says, "Great website. Podcast is informative about the GoRuck community. Brian's voice is calm and measured. Great way to relax on the way to work." Anthony, thank you so much for that. I love our community and am glad that you are enjoying this podcast. The commute to and from work can be rough, and I usually listen to podcasts as well. So thank you for bringing me along in the car, and thank you so much again for taking the time to write that. If you enjoy this podcast, I would love a review on either the Apple Podcast page or our Facebook page. Each one that comes in just solidifies that doing these episodes is beneficial to the community that we are all a part of. As always, if you want to support the podcast financially, we've got gear available in the All Day Rock Off store at alldayrockoff.com/store. Final update. The Winter 2018 Charity Challenges event is open for signups. You can check that out at charitychallenges.org. Signups are still open for the 1,000 Mile Challenge as well, and prices go up starting February 1st. So if you haven't registered yet and want to register, then sign up before then. Thank you so much for all of the support. And here is the interview with Cadre Mickey. Today, I'm talking with Cadre Mickey, who was instrumental in revamping the GoRuck Constellation events from 2017 into 2018. There has been a ton of work done, it seems, moving those events over, lots of new modules. I know both Jason and Blaine have commented on it a couple times. So I'm really excited that Mickey's taken the time out of his day to chat with me and to just talk about what to expect for 2018 with GoRuck Constellation. Cadre and Mickey, how are you doing today?
Not too bad, man. Thanks for having me on here. I hope to get out some good information for you guys.
Absolutely. So for those who don't know you or have never done an event with you before, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So I'm a former reconnaissance Marine. You know, I was in from 2003 to 2008. And about, you know, during that time, all the work was over in Iraq. So that's where I went to work, over in Iraq.
Gotcha. So how long have you been a cadre for GoRuck?
I don't have it down to the day. Between 4.5 to 5 years. So I've been around for a while.
That's exciting. So you've seen GoRuck evolve from, you know, just a couple of styles of events to what they've got now.
Yeah, totally. I remember when we first started running lights and nobody really knew what they were, we just hammered people for 6 hours and cut our mileage in half. That was what a light was. I remember at first, but yeah, things have definitely evolved quite a bit.
Yeah, I think my first light was 8 hours long, and I think we hit double digits in miles.
Yeah. A couple of my first ones were basically, you know, basically a tough mileage. I just moved them a lot faster.
That's awesome. Yeah. Back then, lights, if you're listening and you haven't done a Goruck light, they've definitely changed a lot from what they were like when they first came out. So don't let this scare you from signing up for your first Goruck light.
We just scared everybody. Yeah.
They were definitely a different beast at the beginning.
Yeah. They're awesome now. I think I liked them before, but I think they've gone to a really good place, and they're definitely a great event for people that are a little unsure about the whole Goruck experience. I think it's a great first exposure, and they're a lot, you know, they're super fun to run as a cadre. So
yeah, they seem like they're a great intro to Goruck now.
Yeah.
Before, they were a great intro to what a Goruck Tough would be if you just add 4 more hours, but now it's a good intro to the overall Goruck experience.
Yeah, definitely.
So you've been a cadre for Goruck for between 4.5 to 5 years. So that takes it back to when Goruck was still a fairly young company. How did you learn about or hear about Goruck back then?
Honestly, it was a birthday present. I got a tack hat as a birthday present. I was just checking out the tag because, you know, it was a nice hat and everything. And went on the website and out of the country at the time. And then I hit up my buddies that were still in the States and decided, hey, let's do one of these challenges when we get back to the States. And that was how it all kicked off. Come to find out, I didn't know somebody in the company. But at that point, I had no idea other than that they made nice gear and their events look cool.
Yeah, back then, the website isn't what it is today. I think right now there's a picture for every cadre out there with a nice description. And I know back then it was a little more sparse than that.
Yeah, it was a little bit more secretive. You know, you had no idea who your cadre was going to be until they showed up at the start point. And then even then, the only information you had on them was what they spoke about at that time. So yeah, it was very different.
Yeah, absolutely. So you signed up for your first Goruck event. Back then, it was just the challenge. There wasn't the light. I don't think there was even a heavy. I think it was just a challenge, right?
There was a challenge, and then I think the expedition events were maybe they had ran a couple of them, and I think there was selection had been ran once at that point.
I think the first ascent was back in 2012, so I think we were just at the challenge, ascent, and selection. So. Yeah. And not that much information about anything at the time. So you signed up for your first event with some friends. What did you think about it?
Yeah. Well, so I signed up for the challenge in Santa Barbara, California. And as time got closer, my friends that were supposedly going to do it with me, they, you know, one by one kind of fell off. And so on the actual night of the event, I was the only one left to go. Standing there, but it was awesome. My cadre was Bo, who, funny story about Bo. Bo and I deployed together, so, and I had no idea that he was going to be my cadre or anything like that. So I didn't even really recognize him at first. It took, you know, the majority of the night until the sun came up the next day before I realized that we knew each other. It was a good time. It was definitely was not what I was expecting. You know, again, there was no information about anything really at that point. So, you know, it was a ruck event, so I kind of assumed it was going to be a ruck run, so that's what I trained for. And then Bo took us down to the beach and ran a pretty nice welcome party down on the beach, and I hadn't gone through anything like that since I'd, you know, been back in RIP and ARS and stuff like that. So it sucked, but it was a lot of fun at the same time. It brought back a lot of memories.
That's awesome. And I had a similar experience for my first event, signed up with a bunch of friends, and then, you know, come the day of the event, you're the only one standing there.
Yeah, happens a lot, I feel like.
It does, but it's kind of fun going into an event knowing no one there, because you're forced to, you know, make friends with everyone else who's on your team. You don't have a a smaller team or clique to fall back on or anything. So,
yeah, totally. I mean, that's very true. I think, you know, I can think of two guys off the top of my head that I did that event with that I still talk to today. I mean, it's a little bit different now because they're usually one of the participants in my events, but, no, it's cool that the bond that, going through that type of stuff creates, which is honestly one of my favorite parts about, you know, this whole GoRuck thing.
Absolutely. The events are really fun in their own sense, but the community that's created from them is definitely something special.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you took part in your first event, and sometime between that first event and now, you decided that you wanted to be a cadre for GoRuck. How did you make that decision, and what was the first event that you ran?
That decision actually came after my event. Bo and I went and grabbed some lunch and a few beers after the event, and he was, you know, telling me about the whole GoRuck thing and the cadre position, and offered, you know, a position for me, or at least an opportunity to become a cadre. And it sounded awesome. It obviously is. I've been doing it for almost 5 years, but that's when I chose to become a cadre. I did my train up down in Santa Monica, but my first solo event was actually, it was a light. It was a custom light, Madison, Wisconsin. So it was a custom light. And again, I had no idea what a light was. They told me, hey, just cut your miles in half and cut your time in half. And so this customer, this poor office, you know, there's three guys in the office that kind of had an idea of what was going on, and they were pumped about it. I think they were the ones that kind of volunteered everybody else to do it. But the rest of the people in the office had no idea and were not prepared whatsoever. And so it was a pretty brutal beatdown for them. But yeah, that was my first solo event. it was pretty fun. I had one lady started crying, and I was like, holy crap. But it was a good time. That was my first event.
That's wild. And
yeah,
I'm guessing you're spot on there. There's probably one or two people at that office that had done an event before and got everyone else signed up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, I got a good idea. But that was cool. After the event, everybody was pretty pumped. So, you know, as always.
Yeah, I don't know how you felt after your first event, but after my first event, at least, I didn't think I was ever going to do another GoRuck event again. That was back in August of 2011. And it took like 2 days or maybe a day and a half before I was like, all right, I could probably do another event. And then 3 days after that, I was, you know, feverishly looking on the website for when they were going to be back in Seattle next year.
Man, I hear that so much as a cadre. That's everybody's like, and that's what everybody, all the GRTs are always telling them, you guys, like, yo, you don't think you're going to want to do another one now, but just wait, give it about a week. Sign it up for it. So, no, that's definitely true. I think that just stems from the sense of accomplishment too. You know, I mean, now there's tons of videos and, you know, people, I feel like, can cruise in kind of knowing what to expect. But back in the day, like, if I used to tell my classes this too, like, whatever the start time was, 1 a.m., if at 1 a.m. I told you what I was going to do to you and how long it was going to take and how far you were going to move, the majority of you would have said, there's no way I can do this, and probably walked away. But now that you're on the end of it and you're looking back at what you've done, realize that you are capable of doing so much more than you give yourself credit for. And that's an extremely important mental tool, I think, going through life. Not just, obviously for us coming from, you know, different combat jobs, but no matter what you do in this world, if you have that mentality that, you know, you can push farther than you give yourself credit for, that's going to make you successful in whatever you do. So it's, I think that's why people keep coming back. That sense of accomplishment and realization, it feels good.
It does. And the pain from the event subsides after a couple of days, but that, you know, the sense of accomplishment, it's just about that 4-5 day mark where all the shadows have started uploading all the pictures, and, you know, you've got no more pain and you've got all of the accomplishments. So you've got everything going for you to sign up for another event.
Yep.
So a couple more questions before we get into Constellation. Some cadre love running light events. I know others just love heavies. That's their game. Are there any events that you tend to gravitate towards?
Events where I can teach. So I was on the expedition team where, you know, we were doing the navigators and the ascents. Now I'm in charge of Constellations. So any events where, you know, people can come in and I can actually teach them skills that I learned, or they're, I mean, you're always learning these skills, but, you know, I can give them some of my knowledge and pass them on so they can go and do whatever they want to do. That's awesome. I love doing that. Those are my favorite types of events. But on the flip side, I still like a good heavy too. You know what I mean? Like, I don't mind going out and running just a crushing heavy every once in a while to keep my reputation intact, I guess.
That's awesome. And it's probably a different sense of pride you get from running each event, right? So in one year, you're teaching people skills and it's cool seeing people grasp them and use them. But in the, you know, a heavy, seeing people just come through those grueling events and come out on the other side, it's truly something to see and experience.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I guess they're similar in the way that, like, there's always a realization as people are going through the event. But yeah, they're two completely different realizations and come in very different levels on the pain chart, I guess.
Absolutely. Probably as polar opposite as you can get, nearly.
Seriously.
So I reached out to BD, and he's the senior director of events, and asked him who I should talk to about the changes made to GoArt Constellation in 2018. So he threw your name out there, which is why you're here on the podcast. So thanks again for being on here. What has been your role in shaping the 2018 Constellation events?
Pretty significant. I've designed and written the majority of the modules, designed the timeline, been working with, you know, HQ on getting all the stuff approved, getting the timelines, having, you know, sending them up, having them look at it, taking their suggestions and doing the modifications that I had to. That's not to say that I did it all by myself. During the 2017 Constellations, we developed like a pretty solid crew of Constellation cadre. So at the end of 2017, when I began working on the new curriculum for 2018, I reached out to those guys and asked for their input on stuff as well. So, you know, not all of these new ideas were mine. I just helped take everybody's input and put it in a nice little package and then got it approved from HQ.
That's awesome. So did you have any involvement in the forming or the execution of those 2017 Constellation events?
Yes, I did. So when Constellation first, you know, came about, it was actually myself and a couple other cadre from the expeditions crew. They were kind of tasked with taking the survival stuff we would teach and navigate it and applying it to an urban setting. So I was involved with that in the very beginning. And then, you know, as everything shook out, I ended up being put in charge of the Constellation event in 2017. And then as we moved through 2017, you know, I don't know if you've heard about the beta or if you were there at one of the betas, but if you looked at the event that we ran during the beta to what we ran in New Orleans, the last event of 2017, it was, you know, completely different. So there was a lot of work. I had to, you know, I read through a lot of AARs. I talked to a lot of the cadre that were teaching classes, and we did a lot of work to make sure that we were at a good spot when we, for 2017.
That's great. And I didn't hear too much about that event, so I'll have to dig into it a little bit. When Constellation 2017 was announced for the, you know, the cadre to be a part of, was that something you were excited about? Was that an opportunity that you were like, yes, Constellation is something I definitely want to be doing?
Yes and no. I was a little worried about urban settings. I'm an outdoors guy. So like, I love the navigators. I love Ascents because I'm on the woods. And I was worried that we weren't going to be able to do the same kind of stuff in an urban setting, but that fear was completely unfounded. There's so much stuff we can do in an urban setting that's so much fun. Don't get me wrong, I still love the outdoors, but I can have just as much fun in an urban setting as well. So, yeah. But, you know, to answer your question, I was just pumped to be part of something new and, you know, have that challenge of creating something that the GRTs like and that I can, you know, put a lot of work into.
Yeah, absolutely. And it definitely seems like it was an overall positive experience in 2017. I mean, just the number of people who showed up for Constellation events was insane. I think the Seattle Constellation event had more participants than any other event in Seattle for 2017.
Yeah, so Seattle, I think we had over 100 for that one. And, you know, it was kind of crazy looking back in, on 2017. We had 25 different cities, and I think at least half of those cities had close to 100. So there was definitely, that was a learning thing for us as cadre too. Like, you know, how many normal legacy events you go to where there's 100 plus participants. So that was kind of not only were we dealing with 100 and something people, we're also having to teach them and effectively teach them some stuff. So that was one of the things we, you know, learned and figured out too during 2017.
Yeah, it's got to be tough too, right? I mean, I don't think I've only been to one GoWork event that I can recall that had over 100 people, and that was the first ABSOC in San Diego. So it was kind of a special event, which makes sense why so many people would turn out. But there's usually just 15 to 30, maybe 40 people, and trying to teach a couple dozen people is way different than trying to teach 140.
Yeah. And I mean, we figured it out. I think we do it in a very effective way now. And really what it boils down to is the knowledge and the professionalism of the other cadre on the Constellation crew. You know, being able to split a group up and have three different classes going on at the same time and making sure that every group is getting the same information on the same timeline is not an easy task. It gets a little stressful at times, but it's something that we realize that we need to make sure that the participants in the event were having the best possible time they could. And all my Constellation team stepped up and made it happen. So I'm really happy with how it all went.
Awesome. So at what point during 2017 did you decide that Constellation 2018 was something that you definitely wanted to be a big part of?
As soon as Constellation picked up steam, you know, I had a solid crew. It was definitely something that I knew I wanted to continue on with. I don't know if I have an exact event or exact date, but fairly soon into it, right when, you know, it really started to, you know, we hit our stride and, you know, we were getting awesome AARs and people were coming to us and telling us how much they learned and, you know, especially with the amount of new participants, new people to GoWork, like completely coming out and saying they're having a great time. Like that's when I really knew that this was an event that it was fun for us to run as cadre and that we were doing a lot of good work out in the cities. So at that point I was like, you know, 2018, we gotta keep cruising.
And that was one of the interesting things I noticed with Constellation in 2017 is that it seemed like the majority of the people who came out to those events weren't GRT. They were people who had somehow heard about it and signed up for it, but it wasn't like a GRT reunion, which is kind of what I expected it to be.
Yeah, no, that's completely true. There was a ton of new people. I mean, I haven't seen, you know, in the beginning of the event, you ask who here, this is your first GoWork event, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I hadn't seen that many hands come up when I asked that question for a very long time. So that was awesome. I mean, you definitely still had that GRT reunion group as well, you know, because, you know, for a lot of the old school GRTs that were like, you know, I'm retired from the heavies. The Constellation is something that could come out, hang out, and not have to worry about carrying a log for however many miles, you know what I mean? But it's cool, and I think a lot of that stemmed to we advertised it for, I mean, there's always been a little bit of advertising when it comes to GoWork events, but that was something that HQ decided they were going to do. They put together, you know, a cool video and all that other stuff. And I think that was a way for us to kind of reach out and grab the attention of folks that don't, you know, aren't on the tough page or the normal, you know, our normal means of communication, which was cool. So.
Absolutely. And it was a really well put together too. You guys did a great job advertising that. So 2018 welcomes a brand new Constellation event called Constellation 6. What prompted the creation of that event, and what can people expect from a Constellation 6?
So Constellation 6 was something that we toyed with the idea last year in 2017, but we decided to shelve it until 2018, much as the 12-hour allowed us to take 24-hour to the next level last year. So the 6-hour is going to be along the same skill level-wise as 12-hour was last year. We were able to adjust the timeline and tweak our modules to where someone that's never seen any of this information before in their life can come to the 6-hour and walk away with the confidence of that, hey, I'm put in a stressful situation. I have the basic skills I need to keep myself or my loved ones safe. So, you know, the people that did the 12 last year, they might see a little bit of overlap as far as information goes, but the way that we're going to develop it, the way we're going to test people on it, stress them out on it, that is all going to be changed. So it's going to be a good time. And also it's going to be during the day. You know, it starts at 9 in the morning on a Saturday. So, you know, maybe some of the folks that weren't too on staying up all night to learn this stuff, you know, or maybe to have some members like that, now they can come out to this hour, receive that awesome information in a convenient time. So I'm really excited for the 6-hour. I think it's going to be great. Much as, you know, what, like how we were talking about earlier, the light is turned into, I think that's the 6-hour for possibly.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you hit the nail on the head right there with at least what I see. Having it during the day will definitely open it up to a new group of people who aren't too keen on being out all night or aren't able to be out all night. So that should definitely be pretty interesting. So would it be worthwhile for people who have already completed a Constellation event in 2017 to register for a Constellation 6 event?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, anybody that has gone to the Constellation since 2017 know that every event that I ran, I said this repeatedly, that these are all perishable skills. And being sure that you zoom in the stress is key. You know, having the mindset, having that peace of mind, that calmness of mind, to where you do find yourself in an extremely stressful situation, you don't freeze, the disaster mindset, as we call it, is huge. So, you know, it's just like training to be a boxer, you know, training Muay Thai or something like that. You can sit there and you can watch those videos. You can go do one class and do all that stuff, but you're never really going to feel secure in your skill set if you don't get into a ring and get punched in the face. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't experience that stress, then how do you know you're going to be able to perform what you've practiced and watched and studied in a stressful environment? So, yeah, definitely coming out to the 6 to kind of refresh those skills as well as put yourself in under different stressors is huge to really mastering these skill sets.
Absolutely. And I mean, I can relate to that. I've trained Muay Thai for years, and there was nothing like that first time that you get into a ring, even for sparring, and you take a nice combo to the face. It like just opens up a whole new world of, oh,
yeah, exactly. Like, now what do I do?
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know exactly what you mean. It's perfect.
Yeah.
So in 2017, there was Constellation and Constellation 24. We've checked out the 2018 Constellation calendar, and it seems like Constellation morphed into Constellation 12. A lot of the modules, it looks like, have changed up quite a bit. How much overlap would you say there is between the 2017 Constellation event and the 2018 Constellation 12 event?
Almost none. We will do a very quick refresher on those. We call it the basic survival skills refresher. And that's one of the first modules that we'll go over in the 12 hour. And then after that, it is completely new material. So, I mean, we're introducing a lot of new stuff that just based off the feedback I got from 2017, stuff that I'm excited about. It's going to be fun to teach. It's going to make the event more exciting, more fun. And we're starting, like I said before, because we're covering that basic stuff in the 6, we can get into a little bit more in-depth stuff during the 12s. Maybe not as in-depth as we will in the 24, but definitely more in-depth than what we were doing last year.
That's awesome. I'm excited. I've seen some of the modules on the website, and some of them just look awesome. So Speaking of Constellation 6 and Constellation 12, I noticed that the events are stacked in a way that you could do Constellation 6, you could maybe grab a quick nap and a bite to eat, and then you could do Constellation 12. Is that something that you would recommend people who are interested doing, kind of like the, you know, a tough to alight, the TL, or is that something that you wouldn't recommend?
No, yeah, I totally recommend it. And I kind of, you know, we switched the whole 12 and 6 hour order for that very reason. You know, maybe I have someone that has never done any of this stuff before. They can come do the six. And then, you know, if it's something they're really interested in, they can do the six. They can get a really, really good grasp on those basic survival skills, then do a little refresher for the 12, and then keep rolling on and gaining that knowledge and those skill sets throughout the night with the 12. So, yeah, I hope, you know, people come out and do the 6 and 12. I think it'll be cool to hang out with everybody for a whole day. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what people want to do.
It's a great idea. Speaking of which, Gorok should bring back the mulch, the meathead, then light, tough, heavy. Try and rope some people into the light and roll them into the tough.
Yeah, right. We've talked about it. There's whispers of it in the hallways, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know how many total of those they ran. I know they ran one in Washington State.
Yeah, that was Padre Ed, correct? I think he was kind of the...
Yep. Yeah, he ran point on that. But it was, from what I hear, is definitely interesting, starting with a light and ending with the heavy.
Yeah, so that's a different kind of mindset.
So I think we've talked about this already, but there's just a ton of new skills being taught in 2018. So people who, if you're listening and you did take part in Constellation in 2017, by signing up for 2018, you're not going to get just a repeat of what you had. I hope we've made that point clear that it's going to be a ton of new skills, very little overlap besides that refresher at the beginning. So I'm excited, and I hope a lot of people are listening to this. That gets them excited about 2018 Constellation as well. So I believe personally that the skills you learn in courses like Constellation are lost when they're not used. We talked about this, you know, boxing, Muay Thai, those types of skills. So I think your thoughts are the same with mine, that signing up for courses like this yearly to keep those skills sharp is a solid idea.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, you just want us to keep coming out to your event. And, well, yeah, obviously, because I like hanging out with you guys. But it's also, and you said it yourself, like, these skills are all perishable. And it's different. You know, people, you know, one of the ARs I read was like, you know, I can go sit at home and watch YouTube videos and all this stuff. And like, yeah, you definitely can. But how are you going to test yourself on how well you actually absorb those skills? Because you can ask anybody that comes out to these events, they'll, you know, they tell you firsthand, like, you know, I've seen videos, I've read how to do this, but actually doing it and seeing what it actually entailed is a whole new experience. So you have that going for you. Then, you know, we add in stressors. That's, you know, a cadre. That's one of the things we're really good at, is stressing out our team. So not only are you acquiring, you know, all the skills on a hands-on level, but you're also having to perform those skills that you just learned in a stressful environment. And I think that boosts the confidence of your skills. So, you know, heaven forbid you ever do find yourself in a survival situation, you'll have that confidence and you'll have that peace of mind and that kind of clarity, that calmness that you need to actually perform, be able to do these skills. So coming back and doing this stuff over and over again and re-stressing yourself out, it's, I think it's critical to really mastering these skills. You know, like you said, just like with Muay Thai, you know, you don't go spar once and you're like, all right, well, that's good, I'm ready to go. Like, you spar over and over and over again and constantly improve and become more fluid, become more calm and just improve overall. So I think that applies to this as well.
And I think another piece on it too is that in a situation where you will need the majority of the Gorok Constellation skills, there's a solid chance that YouTube's going to be down. or
yeah.
or you're not going to have access to a phone or a laptop. And if you do, like, do you really want to be spending what little battery you have left YouTubing videos on how to, you know, do whatever?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's exactly. I forgot who I was talking to one time. And he made the joke. He's like, yeah, I like hunting, but usually where the deer are, I don't have service. So I don't know how to clean the deer after I shoot it because I can't watch the YouTube videos or something like that. And I was laughing. I was like, how often there is a guy trying to clean a deer? I don't have. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Oh, that's funny. But yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, it goes back to just practice and getting those, you know, real stressors in there, because I guarantee that the stressors that the cadre put on will be nothing like, or maybe not nothing like, but they won't be at the intensity level as a real world stressors where you would need the skills you learn in Constellation. So
yeah,
it's good to have that little bit there to ramp up. So if you do need it, you've got at least a base. So we've talked about a ton, you know, there's a ton of changes in GoArt Constellation coming in 2018, which is very exciting. What have been some of the changes that you've been most excited about or that you are, you know, really interested in teaching?
There's been a couple. So we're getting, you know, now that we don't have to teach how to start a fire, how to clean water, and we'll go over it, but you don't have to spend as much time on it. We can get into kind of the foraging and using what you forge to build really useful tools, right? So, you know, having the ability to see at night in low light situations is huge, you know, so we can get into stuff like that. We can get into a little bit of defensive stuff. You know, we're not going to get into hand-in-hand or, you know, hand-to-hand combat yet, but we can definitely get into some stuff that you can build from very simple materials to, you know, protect yourself, give yourself that little extra second in an escape and evade situation. And then on the flip side of that, we're also going to get into some really cool medical stuff. I finished reading a book not too long, or while I was designing that module, but Where There Is No Doctor. It's about, you know, for these places down in like South America where they don't have a lot of Western medicine or access to it, how they cope with it. And I learned a lot of really cool stuff. So being able to go in and teach that is going to be a lot of fun, I think. And then, we're going to get into kind of more health stuff as far as, you know, when you're foraging for food or you're catching food, how to correctly prepare that to make sure it doesn't make you sick. The way that we're going to teach that and the way we're going to crack out that is going to be really fun. I'm looking forward to it. So it's going to be a good time.
That's awesome. I'm excited for all of that. I think the conflict stuff will be interesting too. So
yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Because I don't know if you hold the same feeling, but generally, and maybe not like these types of situations, but in most situations, evading and escaping is preferable to fighting. If there's one thing that you know, doing Muay Thai and boxing, that kind of stuff, has taught me, it's that people who you don't expect to be that strong or that skilled can be very strong and very skilled. So
yeah. There's always that freaking guy at the ringer, if you will. Like, you don't see it coming, and he just beats the crap out of you. So, yeah, in a survival situation, I completely agree with what you're saying. It's definitely, you're better off just getting out of there. So, you know, the short guy that's just sitting quietly in the corner doesn't kick the crap out of you. But in a survival situation, who knows, you might not have the antibiotics or, you know, the way to prevent an infection from even just busted knuckles. You know, you punch somebody, bust your knuckles open, they get infected. In a survival situation, that can be huge. So
absolutely. I remember the first time a 280 290 pound person head kicked me, and I'm 6'2", 6'3". It was like, you know, whoa, not everything is as it seems.
Yeah, exactly, right.
So that's great advice. And yeah, I mean, you bust up your knuckles, they're bleeding, they get infected. Like, what do you do? Now you have to raid a hospital or something, which will probably bring up more conflict. And it's just so much safer to play it smart, I guess.
And, you know, and you're not always going to be by yourself. You know, you might be. And I think it's a lot easier if you are. But if you're not, if you're moving with your family and children, or, you know, maybe someone that's not physically or as physically capable as you are, you know, maybe you could handle getting into a fist fight, but are they going to be able to? So that's going to change the dynamic in that conflict. If you can't just worry about yourself, you have to worry about those that you're trying to protect as well. So, I mean, just to kind of circumvent all of that, why not just get out of there?
Absolutely.
That might be the best protection for those that you're trying to protect.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do love my 7-month-old daughter, but I do not trust her to have my back.
Yeah. Give her a couple months then. Yeah. That's sidekick.
So have there been any challenges or any roadblocks that you've run into getting the series set up for 2018? It sounds like there's been a number of changes. Have any of those posed a problem?
Not really. I mean, time, you know, it takes a little bit of time to come back and adjust, but honestly, nothing too huge. It actually, I think a lot of the large issues that we were encountering were kind of worked out in 2017, which made, you know, 2018 more awesome, because now I was like, well, I already know how to handle this. So now I can, you know, I know my left and right limits, so I can maximize everything I have in the middle. You know, rolling out, I think one of the biggest hiccups we had is the schedule dropped a little bit later than we would have liked. So, you know, people haven't been exposed to it yet as much as maybe nobody just wants to do that. But yeah, so that was kind of a hiccup. Other than that, no, it was pretty good. I had a lot of good input and a lot of great help on it. So
good to hear. And that's definitely an interesting way of put it. I never really thought of it that way. 2017 was the first year for GORUCK Constellation events. And, you know, the way GORUCK structured, they kind of put the entire year's worth of events out there. So you've got, you know, your orders in front of you of what has to get accomplished in 2017. And you're probably learning a lot going event to event. So 2018 has been the first year where you've been able to gather all that knowledge and then figure out how that's going to impact the events going forward.
Yeah, totally. Definitely. I mean, just the timeline was something we played with a lot during 2017. And it took a few events to where we were really happy with, when we felt it was the best. Just having that big timeline and kind of break down how the night was going into 2018 was awesome. As putting the event together, I was like, oh, I'm so happy. All I have to do is, you know, plug it in a little bit. So that was cool.
That's great. So GORUCK obviously is known for tough events. I think the GORUCK Selection live feed, Jason or Blaine mentioned that it got like a 250,000 total views. So a lot of people who know about GORUCK know about the tougher side. For people who are listening to this episode, a lot of people who listen who haven't done a tough or a light yet, and they're not really sure where they stand with their physical abilities when it comes to GORUCK events, what level of physical fitness is needed for either a Constellation 6 or a Constellation 12?
Both. It's very light. We're not, you know, this isn't a PT event. We throw around the term the gentleman's course. It's just a normal course. You know, you show up, yeah, you're going to have to walk. And you're going to have to carry your ruck, but there's no weight in your ruck other than what you brought as far as your survival in the packing list. Kind of go at your own pace. There's no forced marches or anything like that. You know, we get to the areas of operation that you're going to be working in, and we put you out on your mission. So how fast you go and how far you go, that's completely up to you. There is a few times I've seen groups that have had to run, you know, but that's because they weren't paying attention to time and they had to get back on time. So, or, you know, maybe got lost and realized how far away they were, like that. But that's very rare. I'll put it this way. I've never even come close to dropping anyone for a medical reason or because they weren't physically ready.
Well, that's good to hear. So you didn't have anyone crying at your events like that first light you ran?
No, definitely. Well, not from the physical aspect of it, maybe from some of the practical application, but that was, Pepper spray makes you tear up, so that makes sense.
That it does. And I like that one of the items that I saw on Constellation 24's packing list was the pepper spray mask you made in Constellation 12. So
yeah,
I still have mine around, so I think that's one of the items on the Constellation 12 events too, the packing list, so I'll definitely be bringing that back.
Yeah. No, those are fun. Those are, everybody like dislikes and likes those the most because it makes the event very exciting when you know you're going to have to use it, but actually using it sometimes isn't the most pleasant experience, but everybody gets through it.
Yeah. When people were asking for advice on the Constellation event, I didn't really want to spoil that you were going to get pepper sprayed in the face. So,
yeah.
So I would just tell people, I say, when you have downtime, just work on your mask because the cadre really grade you on it.
That's a very good way to put it.
Didn't want to drop the secret, but at the same time, like if you have downtime, work on that mask, make sure that seal is good because it's a, you know, it's a practical event. A lot of practical applications.
Yeah. Definitely.
So I think I mentioned earlier, we had someone on the podcast back in episode 25, and they gave an AAR for the Constellation 24 event. Will Constellation 24 be making a comeback this year?
Yes. Yes, it will.
Awesome.
I'll get into it a little bit later if we have time, but it's going to kind of coincide with some of the other survival events that we're going to be running this year. Poseidon is coming back this year, a maritime environment survival course. There'll be a 6 and 12 with that as well. And then we are a wilderness survival course. All these should be, just bear with us. Those will be dropping here pretty soon. But the 24-hour events are really going to start to coincide. It's coming back. I'll put it like that. I'll leave it there.
Good way to put it. And for those who are listening and have listened to previous episodes, we had Corey Madrowski on, and he gave an AAR for the, I think at the time was called Beached Beta Tough and Beached Beta Light out in Traverse City. And I think that's what will be turning into a modified version of that or something similar into Poseidon for this year. So very exciting stuff. We're starting off the new year. People are making their resolutions. Some of those resolutions are for GoWork events. I know I've gotten a number of emails so far, people saying that 2018 is the year where they sign up for their first light, or 2018 is the year where they're finally going to do a tough. What advice do you have for people who are considering signing up or have just signed up for their very first GoWork event?
Be stoked. Be happy. You're going to have a blast. Don't show up completely unprepared, but you're about to do something awesome.
That's great advice. And I think one of the issues with people getting, overly nervous for the events, maybe that's not the case, but it's almost like there's packing lists and information overload on what you should bring to events. And so people get nervous if they don't have all the stuff, they're not going to, do well. But back when I did my first event, and I'm assuming you're back in 2013, there really even then there wasn't much information out. You just had that GoWork packing list and you showed up with your bricks and hoped for the best.
Up with their headlamps on, blinding each other. And I think you're exactly right. I think people kind of get a little overwhelmed and it makes them a little bit more nervous than they need to be. But look at the percentages, look at the amount of people who come on and do these events. You're going to make it and you're going to have fun and you're going to be glad you did. So be stoked that you've made that step.
Absolutely. So what advice do you have for people who are taking the next step this year? They might have done a couple lights and are signing up for a tough, or they might have done some lights and a tough and are signing up for a heavy in 2018. Any advice for them?
Don't just train to meet the standards. You should be training to crush the standards. No matter what the cadre throws at you, carry on, and keep that same enthusiasm, keep that same stoked feeling you had for your very first event. Let that carry on to the, you'll do good. You'll crush it. Everybody here does.
That's awesome. Completely agree. You should be able to beat the standard on a bad day. is what I usually recommend training to.
Standards are the easiest thing you're going to do if you think about it. So that should not be your goal. Crushing those should be your goal.
Yeah, they should. Sure. I mean, really, they should be an afterthought because it's what you know what's going to happen. I mean, you should be able to do them, and that's that. Assuming that you're signing up for an event that has standards like, you know, the heavy or Gorek selection. Didn't really want to drop that one, but.
But I mean, even with the tough, you know, everybody question, you know, how different is the light from the toughest from the light and stuff like that. It's a question I get asked very often. And I tell them, you know, the exercises and stuff are going to be, at least for my lights, the repetitions you're going to have to do are going to be a lot higher, and you're going to be doing it in the middle of the night and instead of laughing around and smiling. So just having that kind of image, you know, and if you can try to train with that in mind while you're doing it and still crush the exercises that you're trying to do, that's huge for the tough.
Absolutely. So is there anything else that you want to talk about before we wrap up?
I made a wish for you. Foremost, we need to keep working to keep Bomber shirtless for as long as possible. I know it's cold in Florida right now, but he's been wearing a shirt way too often. The Gorek, Poseidon, and Wilderness events, they're going to be awesome. They're going to be two really, really cool events. Dig the survival stuff, and you dig the kind of Gorek style teaching. Definitely come check those out. Stay tuned. St. Baldrick's this year. Go Sox. I don't know. That's about all I got.
That's awesome. I can't wait for all the new events for 2018. Poseidon should be great. Should be awesome, especially now that they're doing it in lakes. It's not just the beaches, because I know so many people in the middle of the United States who don't have access to a beach were worried about that. So having on lakes will be nice, and then
where we're gonna run them and stuff like that. That was opened up so many more possibilities. As I was going through and researching all these lakes across the country, there's a lot of really cool, fun-looking lakes. So I'm kind of excited about that, to go see some of these places and get to hang out and see cool stuff.
I mean, that's going to be quite the job for you, right? So you get to look at all these awesome pictures of lakes, figure out where you want to, you know, have a Gorek vacation to next.
Yeah, I mean, not always necessarily paid vacation, but it's cool. You learn that there's so many, like, just countries that are gorgeous. Them always work, you know, there's always permits and regulations and stuff like that that we kind of have to work with, especially for events like ours, because they're not your normal, like, so, you know, working inside certain parameters can be a little bit of a challenge sometimes, but we got an awesome schedule and everything that's going to launch here pretty soon, so I'm looking forward to it.
Very cool. Well, I can't wait to see where they end up. Mickey, thank you so much for taking just all the time. We've talked for already over an hour now, and just, you know, taking all this time on a Tuesday to chat with me about Gorek Constellation, Constellation 6, Constellation 12, what people can expect in those events. I'm really excited about them. I know they had a great run in 2017, and I hope 2018 is just as good or better. So thank you again for taking just all this time to chat with me.
No problem, man. Thank you for having me on, for helping me spread the word about this Constellation. And I'm right there with you, man. I hope they crush 2017, which I'm kind of expecting. So,
thank you so much for listening to the All Day Rock Off podcast. To learn more about this episode, please visit the show notes at alldayrockoff.com/podcast/episode-032. To learn more about All Day Rock Off, you can always visit us at alldayrockoff.com. Did you enjoy the show? We would love a review on Apple Podcasts or even our Facebook page. Think we can do something better? Send an email directly to me at Brian, spelled B-R-I-A-N, at alldayrockoff.com, as I am always looking for ways to improve the show. Don't forget to check out charitychallenges.org for some awesome virtual events, including the 2018 Winter Challenge and the 1,000 Mile Challenge, which lasts the entire year of 2018. If you want to support the podcast, we have a store full of gear at alldayrockoff.com/store. so you can check that out as well. Thank you so much again, and remember, attitude is everything, keep yours positive, and drink hard, rock harder.